Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
My brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." "Master." And when Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when Jesus heard that he was ill, Jesus remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Jesus said this, and he told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to waken him." So the disciples said to Jesus, "Master, if he's asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I'm glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only 2 miles away. And many of the Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to Jesus, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to Jesus. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed, deeply troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of a blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to Jesus, "Lord, by now there's going to be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This isn't part of my sermon, but I have to chuckle somewhat on that gospel, how the author of that underwhelms and underplays the last sentence. You know, after Jesus, doctor, raises a man from the dead, and then he writes, "And they began to believe in him." If I saw that, I don't have to begin nothing. I'd be down on my face. "Lord of Lord, King of Kings, forgive me a sinner." I would be pretty overwhelmed. I don't think I'd have to begin. I'd already be believing, you know. Thank God we have that faith. That's a great gift. Okay, Ishvi, now I start the sermon. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus cry, knowing he would raise Lazarus from the dead? Did he cry because of the overwhelming grief of the mourners, or seeing the pain on the tearful face of his two good friends, Martha and Mary? Why did Jesus cry? I believe Jesus cried because of compassionate grief. Pardon me, anger. Compassionate anger. That's why he cried. Jesus was very angry in this gospel. He was angry. You see, Jesus knew what the Father intended for humans. The Father created humans for a life of joy and peace, love, and eternal life, a total cornucopia of happiness and grace, total joy, pain, suffering, and death were never part of God's plan for his children. Never. Satan deliberately messed it up, and that made Jesus angry. He was angry at what Satan had done. You see, Satan was so jealous that God treasured humans more than him, more than Satan. Jealous over God's devotion to us, his creation. And Satan got revenge by gaslighting two humans, Adam and Eve, to believe they didn't need to obey God or even need God. Remember how he gaslighted Adam and Eve? Said, "You eat that fruit, you'll be like unto God." Totally lied. With that betrayal of God, death came into our world and killed our union with God. Satan destroyed our forever home, our ability to stay in that forever home in heaven. It's like, I see this on the internet sometimes, it's like a dog spending a few days in a loving forever home only to be returned to the kennel. Have you ever seen that? Oh, I just cry. Dog's all happy. I'm playing with toys. All of a sudden, for whatever reason, we don't want them. We don't want this dog. And then they show the dog going back to the kennel. In one case, the dog was crying. And I cried right with that dog. But that's what Satan did to us. We were in a forever home, right, Mary? The Garden of Eden was our forever home. And Satan destroyed it. And Jesus was angry about what Satan did. It angered Jesus that Satan hurt Lazarus and all of us whom he loves. Have you ever felt anger when someone hurts the one you love? Have you ever felt that anger? Hurt my little boy. Don't you dare. And Jesus was angry that the devil hurt us. In the Bible, when Jesus wept, it wasn't just little itty-bitty tears coming down his cheek, like a silent cry. No, Esther. It's much different. The Bible describes Jesus as bursting into tears, meaning that the tears leapt out of his eyes, leapt through his hands as he cried. It was a flood of tears. Jesus was so deeply moved and perturbed with his emotions. Yet, in his tears was born the water for our eternal life. In his tears was born new life. Jesus cried because he is compassionate. He cares for the sufferings of others. Jesus became human so he can understand the sufferings of his people. Remember, Jesus didn't know suffering. He was up there in heaven. He was having a great time up there, being God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, enjoying the heavenly fruits of joy and happiness and love and life, eternal life. He didn't suffer up there. But then he came down here. He came down to us. Now he knows suffering. And because he knows our suffering, for he was one like us in all ways but sin, that means he knows our sufferings. Jesus shows his compassion. And Jesus shows his compassion in this way. I believe Jesus weeps with you while drying your tears. As you weep, he weeps. But then he wipes the tears off your face. I ask this question. How does Jesus care for me in my suffering, when I'm suffering? How does he care for me? I believe Jesus shows it by bringing someone into your life who truly understands your cross, whatever it be, that Jesus doesn't leave you alone. He'll bring someone into your life who understands. Did you ever hear of a grief support group? As an example. He'll bring someone who knows what you're suffering because they've been there. Someone who can cry with you while at the same time wiping away your tears. A traumatic event happened to me when I was in fourth grade. I still remember to this day. It actually had a bad effect on my life for many, many years. I was in phys ed class. The teacher was talking about body posture, and he used students as a show and tell to describe good posture and bad posture. So at first, he called forth this one athletic kid. I was always jealous of that kid because he could climb the rope up to the roof, you know, in physics class. You know, he can climb the rope like they do in the Marines. Heck, I couldn't climb one inch off that floor. But he'd climb all the way to the top and all the way to the bottom. He'd be showing off. Well, the teacher brought that student up to demonstrate good posture. Then he described bad posture. He looked around the class to pick out a student as an example. He looked right at me and said, Mike, come to the head of the class. And he made me stand there, sideways, before the entire class. He proceeded to make fun of me for being fat, which I was. I've been fat all my life. And he said, made fun of me, that I did not stand straight. See, when I was a kid, I had feet that were somewhat deformed. My insides of my feet turned in. I had to get corrective shoes with big metal plates. And because of that, I had a hunchback. And my neck stuck out, and my back, you know, kind of like Igor. And that's kind of how I stood. And I knew it was it was a deformity. So you throw fat on top of that. No wonder the kids laughed. And oh, they laughed at me. And then came the fat jokes. I remember one kid telling me not to wear yellow because they'll think I'm a school bus. Kids can be cruel. Did you ever notice that? Kids can be very cruel. News of my body shaming spread around the school. That was just something you would talk about, you know. And I felt so alone, very alone. I didn't want to be around anyone that make fun of me. Well, one day, this all changed. It all changed. A student from the school, this is Freedom High School, by the way, or be Freedom Elementary. The student came up to me and said, I know how you feel. He told me his name. It was Bumper. Bumper. I think his real name was Donald, but for some reason they called him Bumper. He was a good-looking kid. He seemed fairly normal. He had like wavy hair. You know, he looked like Van Johnson in his prime. You know, the movie star Van Johnson. Have you ever seen him? That's what he looked like. He was a really good-looking kid. How could he possibly know what I feel? He wasn't fat. He stood up straight, was somewhat athletic. And then after a few moments of his speaking, I found out he had a stutter. He stuttered. He shared the pain of constantly being mimicked, you know? The pain of kids making him feel stupid. If you want to hear a stutter, what was it, Mel Tillis, the country singer? That's what he sounded like. He stuttered. So we fast became friends. We cried together and dried each other's tears because we understood. And our friendship not only took away our loneliness, but it gave me the strength to deal with the daily barbs. I could deal with that. I got someone who likes me and understands me. The best thing about our friendship was that we could look beyond our impediments to see the goodness that lie within ourselves. Even though we were like, what was that Christmas story on TV, the island of misfit toys? What's that? Rudolph. That's right, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Me and Bumper were like the toys, the misfit broken toys on the island of misfit toys. That's what we felt like. But you know, together we helped each other, we lifted each other up. Basically, through our encouragement, we say, don't let it bother you. Don't give them the pleasure of thinking this is hurting you. Because you know, Bumper, you know within yourself, you're a really neat kid. I'd always tell them that. I don't care how you talk. He'd say, well, I don't care how you look. And we got along so well for 4 years. There's a phrase for this inner acceptance. It's coined by Sasha Chapin. It is called deep okayness. Deep okayness. Deeply you're okay because you're made okay by God. No matter what's on the outside, on the inside, you're okay. It means I am worthy of love just as I am. It's called deep okayness. Jesus cried for those who not only suffer physical death, like his friend Lazarus, but Jesus cried for many souls who have died from lack of love, rejection, or not given the right to live. He cried for them when he wept. Jesus cried because of the painful suffering of those who are marginalized, considered unimportant, or not given basic human respect. That's going on right now in our world. Gaza and Ukraine, where children are either being confiscated or killed because of just the nationality they belong to or the country they live in. That's happening today. I'm sure that makes Jesus cry. Jesus calls you to dry each other's tears. Tears are holy water that make the seeds of compassion grow. I wrote that myself. Tears are holy water that make the seeds of compassion grow. I left for the seminary at 14. I never saw Bumper again. I always wonder whatever happened to him. But for those 4 years, he meant so much to me. I will be forever grateful for the healing he brought to me, that Jesus sent him into my life. Bumper showed me that God cares. Now go out and be Bumper for someone else. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at saintmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.